there this reservoir of evil upon which we draw from time to time to be those things that God is displeased with. Even such things as murders and false witness and thefts and blasphemies. Why do men blaspheme? Why do men kill? What is the source of these evil activities? In the first few verses of this chapter, the Pharisees and scribes have said to Jesus that his disciples transgressed the tradition of the elders. That was the accusation. That's what they did that was wrong. And they did not wash their hands when they ate bread. Now, that doesn't mean that hygienically they didn't come into the house and wash their hands after they'd been out in the field working in order to get their hands clean so they wouldn't contaminate their food. What these scribes and Pharisees meant by saying that these disciples of Jesus broke the tradition of the elders by not washing their hands was that they didn't do it ceremonially. There was a religious ceremony in the washing of one's hands. It had to do with how many strokes you made this way, how many strokes you made this way, which hand you washed first, which hand you washed second, how the water was poured out of the container, and how the hands were placed in the bowl to get the water. All of these things had to be done exactly the way that the tradition of the elders directed. If you didn't do it this way, then you were to be, it was said of you that you were ceremonially unclean. And the disciples evidently, when they washed their hands, didn't follow this very rigid ceremony. And so they were accused of breaking the tradition of the elders. Jesus then taught them the truth about this. He said, "These are the things which defile a man, not whether you've washed your hands in a prescribed religious fashion or not, but what comes out of your heart." It's not what goes in that makes you bad. It's what comes out that makes you bad. And so Jesus told the people, "These are the things which defile a man. To eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man." So let's look at verse 10 and the statement of a principle. "And he called the multitude and said unto them, Hear and understand." He called them alongside. He didn't simply yell at them to get their attention. He motioned and called them to himself. And he said, "I want you to hear and I want you to comprehend, because this is a very important truth. What is it that defiles a man? Not that which goeth into the mouth." That which goeth into the mouth does not spiritually defile a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, that defiles a man. The word defile means to make common or to make common ceremonially, hence to create a person who is unclean. You know, under certain circumstances, the Jewish people weren't to touch a dead body, because if they touched a dead body, they would be ceremonially unclean. Now, this is what we're talking about. Jesus said, whatever you take and eat, you put in your mouth, and it goes into your stomach, that's not what makes you an evil person. That's not what makes you a murderer or a liar or a blasphemer. That's not what makes you unrighteous in the sight of God. But what makes you unrighteous in the sight of God is that which comes from your heart and then is put into action, and those actions are murder and lying and blasphemy and all of these things that make us sinners and unlike God. Now, when Jesus said this, the disciples came to him and said, "Didn't you realize that what you just said offended? It offended the Pharisees when they heard you say these things?" And from this, I think we can learn that the statement, "the truth offends," is really a true statement. Because when the Pharisees heard Jesus say this, "It's not your hands that make you a sinner in the sight of God, it's your heart. It's not what's on your hands that may get on the food that you eat that makes you a sinner in the sight of God. It's what's in your heart and what that evil heart dictates. This is what makes you a sinner in the sight of God." When these men heard this, and these Pharisees, they had the right clothes and they had the right little tablet hanging here. They had the right fringes on their garments. Everything was just 100% perfect with them according to all the tradition of the fathers. And so they could have their hearts filled with lust, their hearts filled with every kind of evil, and yet they were assuming that what went into the mouth, this is what contaminates you, this is what makes you an evil person, while they didn't realize, or at least would not admit, that their hearts were evil. And when Jesus made this statement, they were offended. They were scandaled. That is, they were deeply offended and hurt by what Jesus had said. But you'll notice something. Jesus didn't apologize to these Pharisees for offending them with the truth. Many people would have expected Jesus to have fallen back in shock and to have wrung his hands in consternation. And Jesus would have sort of humbled himself and said, I'm so sorry. I just hope I haven't offended those people." You see, Jesus was Christ. And you know, Christians are not supposed to offend anybody, are they? You know, if you're a real good Christian, that means that you would never hurt anybody's feelings. Isn't that correct? It means that no one would ever be offended at anything you said, because everything you say, if you're a Christian, isn't that right? That if you're really a Christian, everything you say is just to pump other people's egos and to make them feel better. You would never, never offend anyone if you're a real, true, solid, born-again, down-to-earth kind of Christian that you ought to be, right? Does anybody want to accuse Jesus of not being a good Christian? Anybody want to say, "I think it was wrong for Christ to do that. And I also think his attitude is wrong because he didn't apologize and he didn't say, 'Now, I didn't mean y'all.' He didn't lay a platform of excuse before he ever made a statement. So I think Christ was wrong." Any of you so foolish as to want to say that? You say, "Well, he didn't mean to offend them." If you mean by that statement it wasn't his purpose to offend, I think that's correct. It was his purpose to tell the truth. Jesus didn't say, "Now I want to offend the Pharisees." No, no, no. What he did say was the truth. And he didn't apologize if the truth offended. I don't understand people who apologize for the truth. Why should we apologize for the truth? To whom do we owe an apology for preaching the truth? Do we owe an apology to God for preaching the truth? Do we owe an apology to the devil? Should we apologize to people for saying that which is true? But the Pharisees were just terribly shocked and offended to the very core by the statement that Jesus made. I don't think we ought to intentionally decide that what we're going to say is sort of like the shock talk show hosts are going to say things just to shock people. Jesus didn't do that, I don't think. But he did not shrink back from telling the truth just because there were people there who would stumble at it. And there's all the truths about God and all the truths about the church and all the truths about heaven and hell and just all these truths that are in the Word of God. And we just ought to preach them, not worried about who they're going to offend, but worried more about preaching the truth in a pure and simple fashion, telling the truth so that, you know, it's the truth is all that's going to help people. Compliments aren't going to help people except in a very external way. If we're going to help people, it's going to be because we preach and teach the truth. And Jesus realized that. And what did he say when they came and told him? Do you not realize the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Now that's the Pharisees. Jesus said, every plant that God hadn't planted will be rooted up. And he is saying that the Pharisees are a plant that God didn't plant. He's saying these people are offended, but don't worry about it because they are not planted by Almighty God. He said, let them alone. Now that statement, let them alone, and he's talking about the Pharisees who are not the plants of God. They're not the children of God. You see, if Jesus had offended the people of God with the truth, he might have been more concerned about that. But he said, these are not God's people. And literally, that's what he's saying. These are not God's people. Let them alone. Now, the statement, let them alone, doesn't mean ignore them. The statement, let them alone, means to simply let them talk. Literally, we would say, ignore what they're saying. That's more in line with let them alone. Jesus didn't intend to shut them up. He knew he couldn't. But he did say to his disciples, just don't pay any attention to what these people are saying. And he assigned to them a very ludicrous kind of stance. He said, don't pay any attention, don't worry about it, just go ahead and ignore these people. Why? The blind are leading the blind, and they both shall fall into the ditch. Jesus is saying, whoever these people lead, they're not leading them to the truth, they're leading them in error. Just ignore it. Go on with whatever it is you're doing. Don't let these people turn you aside from preaching the truth and telling the truth. The process is simply easily discernible. You keep doing what children of light do. These are not Heavenly Father plants. They're blind. And the people they're leading into this kind of ceremonial cleanliness, they're blind also. And the destination of both is to fall in the ditch. So simply go ahead and do the things that you need to do and don't let them turn you aside from doing your work. After this statement, Peter said unto him, declare unto us this parable. Evidently, Simon was still confused. And the parable that he's talking about is the statement, that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth This defileth a man. In other words, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defiles a man. This is the statement that Peter called a parable and said, Lord, explain that to us. Declare, that means expose it. Get it out in the open. Look at all of its constituent parts, Lord, and explain it thoroughly to us. Interpret it. Give us the meaning of it. Explain completely this illustration that you've given us. And then Jesus says, are you also without comprehension? You mean that this has gone right over your head? You guys haven't gotten this? And then he explains it. Do not you understand yet that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught or latrine? Just a simple explanation or statement of the process of eating and digestion. They were saying that what you put in your mouth defiled you. Jesus said what you put in your mouth doesn't go to your heart. What you put in your mouth goes to your stomach, and then following digestion goes to the latrine. Now, but those things which proceed out of the mouth, now we're talking about the same opening. What you put into the mouth doesn't go to the heart. But what comes out of the mouth comes out of the heart. What comes out of the mouth doesn't come out of the stomach. What comes out of the mouth comes out of a man's heart. So he's saying, look, what goes into the mouth goes into the stomach and then is cast out. But what comes out of the mouth, that's what we're interested in, because it doesn't come out of the stomach. It comes out of a man's heart and therefore reveals his character. You want to know a man's character? Listen to what he says. Because out of the heart, which is articulated by the mouth, men are made aware of the wickedness of a person's heart. That which truly defiles man, that which comes up, not goes down, but that which comes up truly defiles. You know, we're trying to find out why we're such a wicked and ungodly group of people. For 40 or 50 years, through educational psychology, through psychoanalysm, through social psychology, and just by observing things, we've tried to say men become what they are by their environment. Here's an environment that if a child grows up in it, that child will be mean to others, disrespectful, hateful, ungodly, because it is made what it is by its environment. We've said that over and over and over and over. And you know what we did? We said, since that's the truth, we'll change the environment. And when we change the environment, then we will be changing the people. I'm going to tell you something this morning that you may not be aware of. And were I a black person, I would be offended by the assumption that educators made about 40 or 50 years ago. They looked at black people and they said, we need to change their behavior. But we're not going to be able to do it unless we change their children first. So in order to change the black people who live in America to be like white people in their activities, their habits. What we're going to do is put the black children with white children. And that was the purpose, really, of integration, perhaps more so than anything else, was to change the environment of the black children in their earliest years, and this then would change them to where they would be like their peers. That was the idea of the social engineers, the social psychologists, the educational psychologists. Change the environment, you change the person. Now we're looking at it, and the people are worse. Not only are they worse in their behavior, more antisocial, but the white people they came in contact with have adopted their habits until the whole idea of racial harmony has simply been dispersed, and the black people have not changed their culture, but many white people have accepted the black culture. You know, you can't send a man to jail to get him to reform because you simply put him in an environment where there are a lot more criminals. So when you send a thief to jail, he's with a lot of other thieves, so how can you expect him to change? What we need to do is send a thief out in a good community where people are honest and live right and do right. And if we can put him in that atmosphere for a brief period of time, then he will adopt their habits. And he'll become an honest man, and he will assume all of their values, and he'll start doing what he ought to do. That's why they put these juveniles in homes out in what we would call, quote, the good neighborhoods. It's the idea. If we can take these teenagers and put them in an area where there's people who are honest and doing right and doing the things they should, then they'll see that that's the way they all live. And by changing their environment from this inner city circumstance to that circumstance, they will adopt and appropriate these habits, and they'll be honest, good people. Now our people who for 40 or 50 years have said this, now they're terribly disappointed. And they're actually beginning to admit it didn't work. And I know why it didn't work. It doesn't work for the very reason that Jesus said. It's not your environment that makes you an evil person. It's your heart. Because there are a lot of good people come out of bad environments. And there are a lot of bad people who come out of good environments. Isn't that correct? So it's not the environment, it's the heart. Who can make the heart good? God. And so instead of changing the environment, men's hearts need to be changed. Is that not correct? Men need to be born again. And in that new birth and in the truth of Christ, people who were bitter, angry, mean, murderers, liars, and blasphemers can become truth tellers, humble, submissive to authority, and like God wants them to be. Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts and murders and adulteries and fornications and thefts and false witness and blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. And let me tell you something else. Religious activity won't change the heart. You can just sing Amazing Grace all you want to. You can be baptized all you want to. You can go to church all you want to. You can deal with the external all you want to, but your heart will still be that which comes from man. The only way you're going to change people is to change their hearts. A man isn't a murderer because he killed. He kills because he is a murderer. You're not a liar because you tell a lie. If you weren't a liar, you wouldn't tell a lie. People are liars or they wouldn't lie. People are blasphemers or they wouldn't blaspheme. People are fornicators or they'd never fornicate. People are false witnesses or they would never bear false witness. You know what's wrong with America? It's not our environment, although our environment is bad. It's the heart. Our little children's hearts. Our preschoolers' hearts. And our primary's hearts. And our junior high children's hearts. And our senior high children's hearts. And if there's any... And the meanness in the nursing home is because of the hearts and not the environment. And yet this truth offended the Pharisees. And this truth today offends the people who are in places of leadership in America. They say it's all environment. And we got to clean up the environment. We got to get everybody exposed to the right things. And when we do, they'll be right people. And I'm going to tell you that is not the truth.